Hi, I'm Cecilia Poulin, mother of two, ex-lawyer, ex-banker, writer, singer, creator of one-woman shows, international coach for professional women, international keynote speaker, breaker of conventions, and believer in creativity and the power of the feminine in all of us to change the world. Welcome to Diary of a Writer, where I talk about how I write, and read some of what I write. I really hope you enjoy it, and that it encourages you to develop your own creativity in whatever form that may take. It's Wednesday today, and on Wednesdays I have in my diary that I will write all afternoon, and that almost never happens. But today I wrote for probably 3 or 4 hours, which is a bit of a record for me. So I've written a lot. So I won't say very much. I'll just jump straight into what I've written. My parents-in-law bought the flat in Dinar when my daughter was still a baby. We used to arrive late at night off the train from Paris to Saint-Malo. As soon as we got off the train, we could tell we were near the sea because the air was different and because of the seagulls. We would catch a taxi. We always reserved the same driver, across the tidal power station over the Rance River into Dinar. The gate into the residence would squeak, metal on metal, and we would try not to make too much noise when we rolled our suitcases across the gravel so as not to wake the neighbours. We would go to bed, and in the morning would open the shutters to the blue of the morning and a tiny view of the sea if the tide was up. Later, we would roll our empty shopping caddy down to the markets, have a chat with the butcher and his wife, then have lunch in a cafe on the promenade behind the beach, looking out at the waves, the sandbanks, the boats and windsurfers, and the multitude of islands if the tide was out. We would walk around the coast path to the wide mouth of the Rance River, or back the other way to Saint-Enoga. Or I might climb into my swimming things, put on my plastic shoes and carry my towel, swimming cap and goggles, down the stairs to the beach, drop my towel onto a rock, and swim from one end of the beach to the other and back, past the huge Imperial Hotel, the snack bars selling crepes, waffles and ice creams, the casino, and the 1950s concrete swimming pool, each appearing and disappearing as I turned my head to breathe. But the flat was too small now, the children had grown up, and we decided to leave. We found a house in San Caligildo, half an hour's drive further west along the coast. I went to Dinar alone to supervise the move. I sat in my husband's great-grandmother's goldy-green armchair with the stuffing falling out the bottom as the two moving men packed up around me and realized the enormity of the decision we had made. The flat was far from perfect. It was too small. There were major problems with the roof, and we didn't like having to stay quiet for the neighbours downstairs. But there were so many memories there. We had made a decision to leave a place we loved. I left the flat, empty, for the last time, and dropped the keys off at the real estate agents. I met the removalists at the house in Sanka. It was a Monday afternoon in mid-September, and the streets were empty. The house was new and surrounded by tarpaulins covered in gravel. The only sounds were the wind in the trees and a few birds. We had just left the jewel in the crown of the Côte d'Emeraude to move to this empty house in this empty street in this quiet town where nothing was happening that was not nearly as beautiful as where we had come from. I felt like a fool that we had made a disastrous decision. You're probably thinking, what a spoilt brat. How dare you complain about having the means to have a flat and then a house on one of the most beautiful coastlines in France? And yes, you would be right. As I said at the beginning of this book, I come from privilege. I have been extraordinarily lucky all my life. But that's not the point. The point is how I dealt with that regret. That evening, I was staying in a bed and breakfast in La Richardée, just south of Dinard. It felt awful not being able to sleep in our flat anymore. I wanted to stay in the bed and breakfast for as little time as possible, so I drove back into Dinard and went to the cinema. I cried on the way to the cinema. I cried during the film, and I cried when I came out. I walked along the promenade behind the beach and wept, knowing that this familiar walk would no longer be a regular, easily accessible part of our lives. What should have been exciting was desolate. I was leaving a place I loved. For a long time, I regretted the choice we had made. Sankar never seemed as good as Dinard. The shops weren't as smart or as interesting. The centre of town wasn't nearly as beautiful and the coastline lacked interest. In some ways, this was an archetypal decision because really, there was nothing hanging on it. I had had to leave other places I loved before, but there were always convincing reasons for those moves. There were justifications which made it easier to assume the decision and move on. Some monumental decisions in my life have been extraordinarily easy. The decision to get married, for example, took less than a minute. It was a no-brainer. And some decisions have had enormous consequences, but forced themselves onto me. I'm thinking of the decision to leave Australia to move back to Europe, to France instead of the UK. My husband was miserable in Australia, so the only other choice would have been to leave him, and that choice didn't cross my mind. That decision had the most far-flung consequences, as I have now been living away from my family for the last 27 years, 31 if you count the 4 years in the UK. But because the decision was necessary, it was relatively easy to take, and it has made my life infinitely more interesting. In comparison, the relatively minor, hyper-privileged decision of moving from a small flat in Dinard to a large house in Sankar should have been easy to assume. But because the only thing in the balance in that decision was my feelings, that move has taught me more about making choices and moving forward than any other. It has taught me that there are advantages and disadvantages in all things. I now love our house in Sankar, and I adore my garden. The move allowed me to create a garden out of nothing, to learn about plants, soil and compost, and to become a gardener. It allowed me to proactively make friends and create a community, where in Dinard we knew virtually no one. In the morning, I have access to wild paths along the coast, just at the end of our street. We have a small boat moored at the Plage de la Freinée during the summer months. The move has allowed me to grow as a person and to learn that there are advantages and disadvantages in all things. It has taught me to be far more aware of the reality of things. Reality is often very different from memory or anticipation. When I am excited about going to a party, for example, it's often not nearly as good as I expected. And the reverse is true. The reality of being on holidays, looking for a place to park in a crowded car park at the beach when it is hot and children are hungry, is not one endless hour of pleasure, excitement and relaxation after another. Reality involves all of it. The concrete, the graffiti, the sun, the flowers, the smells, both pleasant and unpleasant, the interest, the annoyance, the boredom. Reality is so much more nuanced and full of good, bad and indifferent than either memory or anticipation. In reality, our feelings continue to change minute by minute, hour by hour. So when I am walking along the coast in the early morning in Sankar and the tiny wildflowers are in bloom on both sides of the walking track, all purple, yellow and white, it's not a matter of regretting what used to be or what might be or wishing things were otherwise. It's a matter of being aware of the soft sound of the sea on the cliffs far below, of the slight breeze on my face, of the muscles working in my legs and my feet in my walking boots, of my breath entering and exiting my lungs. I have learnt how to celebrate what was and to let it go, to be grateful for the memories of our flat in Dinar and of the house in which I grew up and of my childhood in Australia and of my cousin and Philippe and all the people close to me who have died, and to know that those memories will always be accessible to me and woven into my life. To recognize that it is not possible to have it all. Choice and growth involves leaving behind things that I love in order to replace them with other things that I love. As I write, I come to understand just how important this is. The ability to make choices between two things, to recognize the advantages and disadvantages in both, and still to make a decision. The ability not only to accept the decision, but to consciously focus on the advantages of the choice that is made. The ability to grieve for that which has been lost and move through the grief. Where am I today on that relatively minor decision to move a little further down the coast? I still love Dinar, and it is only half an hour's drive away. I no longer think of us as being isolated in Sankar. I think of us as living on the Côte d'Emeraude, where it is all accessible to us. We have more friends, a garden, a big, new, comfortable, environmentally friendly house, and a boat. We are able to have it all after all. It's just a matter of how you look at it. I really hope you've enjoyed this episode of A Diary of a Writer. I'm running an absolutely free group coaching session on the 9th of May at 6:30 p.m. Central European Time. This session is part of my Dancing Days series where we dig deep on a particular emotion. We have already danced with fear and with anger, and this time we're going to be dancing with joy. If you have ever felt miserable and wondered how to have more joy in your life, you will find this session to be of enormous benefit. Check out the Dancing Days Dancing with Joy page on my website, www.ceciliapoulin.com. I would love it if you could join us. Thank you so much for listening.